Good evening, everyone. Today, I'm going to be trying my first ASMR recording. And I've never really done something quite like this before. So, I apologize if it's not to your liking. I don't have an ideal setup right now. I live in a semi-loud apartment building, and it's Friday night, and to top it off, at seemingly random times, there's this dog that keeps howling outside of my window. So, I very sincerely apologize if that really, really bugs you. So, today, what I'm going to be trying is I'm going to be reading from this book, and I may or may not talk about it as I go through it. I haven't quite made up my mind yet. I've actually already tried to record this 3 times now, and things have gone wrong. So, I'm trying to spice it up for myself, per se, by reading different passages inside this book and such. So the book is Fairies, described and illustrated by Brian Froud and Alan Lee, edited and designed by David something I can't pronounce. So this is basically an encyclopedia, or maybe, to show that it's not very conventional, I should say it's a hodgepodge of information about fairies and about the world of fae and such. So, let's get started, shall we? I'm going to go ahead and skip the introduction, which is terminology, basically. And there's a foreword, and there's a preface, and this book has so many gorgeous illustrations in it. I almost hate to skip over them. But we're going to start on the first actual section of the book, which is The Realm of Fairy. Where is Fairyland? Its position is elusive. It is sometimes just over the horizon, and sometimes beneath our feet. Yet there have been periods when Fairyland was thought to be an actual geographical area, although this has tended to shift. For instance, the Welsh first thought it was to the north of their mountainous land, and then in the mysterious, rocky, and misty West Peninsular of Pembrokeshire. I have no idea how to pronounce that, so I said it in a Scottish accent, because accents make me feel more confident. Later, it moved to an island lying in the Irish Channel off the Pembrokeshire coast. It was seen sometimes by sailors, and even landed on, but would then disconcertingly disappear. Nevertheless, its fairy inhabitants were said to be frequent visitors to the markets of Laugharne, Milford Haven. The Irish called the Phantom Isle Hybrisail, and for them, it lay to the west. To Britons, it was the Isle of Man that was the fairy isle. The Isle of Man is a rich source of fairy lore. Avalon is probably the most famous of fairy islands. The legendary King Arthur described by the 15th century poet Lydgate as King Crowned in Fairy was brought here mortally wounded to be tended by 4 fairy queens. Arthur is believed still to lie with his knights in the hearts of a fairy hill in a deep sleep from which he will awake in our hour of great need, again to rule over his land. Fairy can reveal itself, bright and glittering without warning, anywhere, and just as suddenly disappear. Its frontiers of twilight, mists, and fancy are all around us, and like a tide running out, can momentarily reveal fairy before flowing back to conceal it again. The inhabitants of fairyland can be divided into various different species, according to habitat. In addition to the solitary living fairies, there are many rural elf types who make their homes in the forests, or sometimes more specifically, adopt a tree to such an extent that the fairy and the tree become more or less synonymous. Fields, hills, and mountainous caves. There are those that live on fairy islands or in countries under the oceans, while there are also water fairies inhabiting the seas, lakes, and rivers. Finally, there are the domestic and house spirits, brownies, and so forth. Amongst the various species, lifestyles vary considerably between the small family units, the hierarchically organized communities, often inhabiting hollow hills, and the solitary, independent fairies such as the leprechauns. And that's all I'm going to read of that section, because I've already read this next bit after it too many times. But this next big bit does have some very, very gorgeous illustrations, and it goes over King Oberyn, who was a famous fairy, a hill fairy, a king hill fairy, who was shrunk to a low stature because of a curse that was cast on him during his baptism. And this next bit also talks about how the fairies guard their land very, very, very passionately, and how they will not tolerate wandering travelers that intrude on their sacred, secret spaces. It also talks about witches and magic. It's quite interesting. I wish I could tell you all about it, except that I already have, and it didn't work. So I actually don't wish I could tell you about it again. So I'm going to go ahead and skip until I get to a page that looks interesting to me. Right now, I'm looking through illustrations. Quite gorgeous. Here's a good page. This looks like it's about fairy music. And on this page, there are little fairies, maybe pixies. They look like they're of a different species than the rest of the fairies, or the rest of the quote-unquote normal fairies throughout the book. It looks like two of them are playing horns of some sort. One of them is playing some sort of string instrument. Not like a string instrument with a bow, similar to maybe a banjo, but very stylized and interesting. And then there's fairies playing a recorder and also a pan flute. And the text on the page says, "Fairy musicians have a magical skill, and many songs and airs which today are widely known in the human world would have their origins in fairy. The Londonderry air is one such tune. Fairies are passionately fond of music, and outstanding human musicians are at risk of being lured into the land of fairy for the sake of their talent. For the sake of their talent." fairy melodies are known to be beautiful and plaintive, yet wild and capricious, and they have a fatal charm for mortal ears. A wistful fairy air may lull the listener into a fatal sleep, while at best he might become drawn into a melancholic forgetfulness, hearing forever the vague, yearning music, a constant reminder of the unattainable. Morgan Gwillin, who saw the fairies and heard their music dying away, was only able, fortunately for him, to recall the final strains which, he said, sounded like this. And then they have some sheet music, which looks like an E flat scale ascending upwards, the first four notes, and then the first four notes again. I feel smart because I know that. Yay, music nerds. And that is where I will conclude reading for tonight. Especially seeing how this was just a test, I should really listen to see if it worked this time. I suppose I got a little bit carried away. But I really, really hope that you guys enjoyed this. Whether this was something for you to listen in the background while you did something else, or if it was to relax you, or to trigger your ASMR, or to help you sleep. Or maybe, for some of you, you actually took something from this and learned a little bit about fairies. That would be lovely. Especially if you told me about it, because I really love fairies. And I want to hear about all of your thoughts on them. Also, please, please tell me if you guys have any requests or suggestions or critique for me. I promise I won't take anything personally. I'm still very new to this mic, and although I've been listening to ASMR for a very long time, I've never recorded my own ASMR recordings. So, please, please tell me if you want more readings from something else, or more fairy readings, or if you guys would like maybe just a collage of triggers. I can give you some pages right now if you'd like that. You guys want me to do. That's why I create things. And on that note, I will leave you. So goodbye. Have a wonderful day.